Good morning. Today, I would like for us to talk. This is more of a, and I'm sure you could have your own lesson in regards to this. It's what I've learned from Christians. I became a Christian as a teenager. Hate to imagine, it's been 41 years ago. And I've learned an awful lot from my fellow brothers and sisters. And this is just a small lesson that of some of the things I've learned from brothers and sisters that I've run across over the years. I'm going to really try not to mention any names because there's too many to include. And sure enough, I'd miss something and leave somebody out. This could very easily be a 36-parter, but today we're going to look at a few of the things that I've learned from Christians that have gotten me to wherever it is I'm at today, good or bad, that they've helped me in my journey. I think one of the, a sad point is not all of those people that have contributed to my growth, to my building up, not all are still with us. Some have passed on. Even a little bit sadder than that is not all of those people that have contributed positively to me, not all have remained faithful. But they still had a contributing factor to me. One of the things, and these are in no special order, one thing I've learned from many Christians is no job is too big. I've seen people, oh, we can't do that. Somebody will have an idea for a congregation or something. Oh, that's too much to bite off. I wonder if Noah, if that ever went through his mind when God told him to build the ark. That was what seems like an overwhelming task. If you ever study about Noah and the ark, you see the dimensions. It was huge, and he wasn't doing it with power tools and modern equipment. I mean, everything was by hand. And I'm sure that went through his mind, or at least, his sons who were helping him, and that this is just too big of a task. I've seen Christians, and they've given me the lesson, no job is too big. With God's help, we can do anything. And I don't care whether it's sharing the gospel, whether it's this congregation is an example of sharing God's word and starting a congregation up in a part of town. I've seen that, all of my Christian life living in this valley, I've seen numerous congregations emerge. How? Through the power of God and through people's hard work. And I've learned from other Christians, no job is too big. In Philippians 4:13, Paul writes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not our effort, which it does require our effort, but it's not our effort that's doing it. It's the power of God. And I've learned that, and I've had the benefit of people having that attitude. We can do it through prayer, through effort, and through having the attitude with God on our side, we can do it. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, Isaiah was a tremendous prophet of God. And in verse 8 it says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then he said, here am I, send me." That attitude, I've seen that attitude, "here am I, send me," in Christians. You know, we've got an overwhelming task to do. Let's get it done. Send me to do it. You know, I heard, you know, a long time ago, some joke or something about how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And this attitude that Isaiah had, "here am I, send me." No job is too big. No job is too small. I don't mean to be irreverent by placing a toilet there, but I've learned from some Christians, cleaning a toilet isn't above them. I've had the privilege of witnessing some very, very servant-minded Christians. Some of them elders, that cleaning the toilets wasn't above them. Just like there's no job too big, there's no job too small. I've seen people go above and beyond doing sometimes what was seen as the impossible. I've seen men get out of their comfort zone that if you'd have asked them a year or so before to present a Sunday evening lesson, that it said you were crazy. And I've seen people do jobs that were big, and I've seen people do jobs that were maybe sometimes overlooked. I've seen people that didn't have the attitude, this is above me, to clean the building, to teach a Bible study that might only have a few people in it. Oh, that's not worth my time. I've seen people that have had the attitude, no job is too small. There was a family when I was, I don't think I was a Christian yet. In fact, I'm pretty sure I wasn't. That even though I drove and could get there, they offered to come by to make it convenient, to offer their Christian graces to me, to swing by and pick me up. It wasn't on their way. They had to go a little bit out of the way for them. But to offer to take me to services, I think it was probably, truth be known, just to kind of make sure that young teenager didn't find something else to do. But they always offered to swing by and pick me up. Sometimes I rode with them, sometimes I didn't. But just offering a ride. They don't know how important that was, showing Christian concern. Did the man of the house get up and deliver lessons? No. Did the lady teach Bible classes? No. But they had a huge impact in their Christian attitude. Same thing that we can do on the job, in our neighborhood, with our families. We never know, extending ourselves in sometimes the smallest ways, the impact that that can have. In Colossians 3, verses 17, and skipping over to 23, Paul wrote to the Christians in Colossae, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him.
Amen.
And then in verse 23, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men.
Amen.
You're not doing it for the blow and the show of it for people. You're doing it to the Lord. You're doing that good deed for God. James 4:10. I think we used this verse last week or the week before in our lesson. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Not every work and effort that we do as Christians is the big and fancy. It's not the big and fluffy, you know, in front of everybody. I'll tell you, there's a lot more that goes on in this congregation than the guy that gets up and present the lesson in the morning. This is a small part, but yet it's very visual. There's a lot of effort that goes on by the people behind the scenes, some of which people never know takes place. It is known, though, and it is encouraging to many Christians that no job is too small. Another lesson I've learned, and this comes from some of you and others, life happens, but you keep going. There's not a one of us that haven't hit potholes in the road. Some of those potholes are bigger than others. Some of the things I complain about when I hear what other people go through, it almost embarrasses me that I'm complaining about X thing when my brother and sister is going through so much more or has gone through so much more. Some of those potholes and obstacles in our lives, we sometimes wonder if they're insurmountable. But we've gotten through, and we look back, and there's a sense of accomplishment. I got through it with God's help. We got through it. And I've learned from some Christians that literally have been just slapped in the face, gut punched, knocked down, that if they sat in the road and had the woe is me's, you couldn't quite blame them. But I've learned from many Christians, you get up and you keep going. Life happens. It's not, why did God do this to me? But I've seen people fall, dust themselves off, some things that I couldn't imagine going through. Some things I could not imagine facing, but are still here. Still fighting the good fight. That inspires me. Hopefully, there are things like that that you can see in other people that inspires you. James 1, starting in verse 2, says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. When you're smack dab in the middle of something, it's a little hard to count it joy, but at least afterwards, count it joy because it's helped build you up. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Not that we will be perfect, but that our work, that we will be perfected and complete to do God's work. I've seen people be appreciative of what is. May not be exactly what they would, it may not be the script that they would write. May not be that if you gave them the magic wand, what they would have their life turn out to be. And it might be as a result of the last slide about the things we encounter in life. Not everybody wants those things to happen, but I've seen people be appreciative of what truly is. That no matter how bad things get, they're still appreciative of God. Amen. And they can find the good and look for the good in any circumstance. Philippians 4, starting in verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Not when things are going your way. Not when things are going very sweet and easy. But rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Paul wrote this from prison. You would think you'd be sitting under a shady tree in a cool meadow. He was in jail when he wrote this. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When you find that peace that surpasses understanding, you can't explain it. You get it. When you're there, you understand it. It's hard to explain. It's hard to understand. But when you have it, you can be appreciative. Even in the midst of a hardship. And I've been privileged to know some Christians throughout my life that have exhibited that. And hopefully a little bit of that can rub off on me because I'm aware of it. And at least acknowledge what the strength that they've gotten. I've also learned you're not too young or too old to serve God. I've seen some people do unbelievable things at young ages. I've seen junior high and high school kids preach the gospel. I've seen people that were advanced in years. I'll put it this way, older than me. Oh, you know, because old is kind of relative. You know, I used to think somebody 30 years old, oh man, they're old. Now I'm kind of looking 70s, not looking that old, you know. But I've seen people serve God and have that desire as a young person, and I've seen people that were older than me, where they're at an age that society tells, oh, start slowing down, start living the good life, retire. I've seen some people that have never, ever retired from serving God. You're never too young or too old to serve God. Paul told that to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12. He says, "Let no one despise your youth." Timothy was a young man. You know, and we could probably white that out. Let no one despise your youth and put whatever in there. Let no one despise your advanced age. Let no one despise the fact that you're handicapped. Let no one despise the fact that your gender. Let no one despise the fact that you've stumbled in your life. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Whatever the situation you find yourself in, don't let people look down on your age. Don't let people look down on whatever. But you serve God. I've seen people that never quit working for God. This kind of is a right in the coattail of the last one about age. But I've seen people that have quit working. That have quit working for God. And then I've seen people that they're working right up to the end. Right up to the end. I've seen some elders that were far beyond retirement age in the workplace. And they, some of the most productive men I've seen for God's word and for God's work have been up there in age. I've seen many of you. You're retired. You haven't retired from serving God. I've seen some of you be baptized in your 80s. And you just get started working for God. I've seen Christians that never quit working for God. In Philippians 1, didn't realize there were so many passages from Philippians in this. I love the book of Philippians. Philippians 1, this was our scripture reading today that Chris had, says, Paul is advanced in life at this point. He doesn't have a lot of time to live. He's been through the ringer. He's torn. Have you ever known Christians that they were spiritually minded enough that death really they didn't fear? I've known Christians who weren't scared to die. Paul was here. Paul was at that point. I'm not scared to die and go be with my Lord. He says, For to me, to live is Christ. And to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith. Paul never quit serving. Paul never, and if anybody had the right, oh man, it's killing me. He'll just keep right on going. And the last one, and this is more specifically for you than anything else, but I've learned that sound doctrine is important to you. I've witnessed Christians over my time as a Christian that sound doctrine was important. I've seen that there is a time to draw that line in the sand. Enough is enough. Christians that are good-hearted, that would give you the shirt off their back, Christians that will get the short end of the stick anytime, but they won't budge when it comes to doctrine. They won't budge on the important things. If it's a personal issue, I'll yield to you. But on the important things, the spiritual things, doctrine, they won't budge. And I've learned that from many Christians throughout my life. And you guys are of that. Doctrine is important to you here at South Valley. And I greatly appreciate it. I don't think I could preach for a congregation that it wasn't. I couldn't do it. For people that doctrine wasn't, you know, that wasn't impressed with sound doctrine, I couldn't do it. 1 Timothy 4:16, Paul wrote, "Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you." And our last scripture is Acts 17:11, where the Christians in Berea are being praised and acknowledged for their attitude toward the scriptures. It says, "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." The word was important to them. The word should be important to us. I've been privileged to have been able to observe and to be influenced by some tremendous Christians in my life. And I'll be indebted to those lessons for the rest of my life. And I guess I want to leave you today with the thought, what are people learning from you? Don't overlook the fact that people are learning something from you, good or bad. Maybe it's what not to do. Maybe it's what to do. What are people learning from us on a daily basis? The lesson is yours. I'm sure each one of us could write a similar story of the people that have influenced you in your life. Let us be an influence to others as we go into this new week. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you need to put your Lord on in baptism, if you need prayers of your brothers and sisters, if you need to repent of sin, we have the opportunity to do so. If you've been looking for a church home, if you would like to worship and work with us here at South Valley, we would love to have you. Whatever your need is, please come forward while Kurt leads us in the invitation song, and we'll address your needs. Let us stand.